Welcome back to FP&A Done Right. We have new hosts this season. I'm Olivia, and as always, I'm joined by Ryan. Ryan, are you ready to dive into the wild world of finance transformation?
Oh, you know it, Olivia. I mean, after last season's deep dive into workday adaptive planning, I've been thinking a lot about how much the role of FP&A has changed. It's not just about closing the books anymore, right? It's about opening up new possibilities for the business.
Exactly. I remember when I first started out, FP&A was, well, kind of the back office. We'd crank out reports, maybe get a polite nod from the execs, and then, poof, onto the next cycle. But now, the pressure's on. We're expected to predict, to guide, to almost see around corners. And let's be honest, the market's only gotten more complex and volatile. It's like, surprise! Here's a new curveball every quarter.
Yeah, and it's not just the market, it's the expectations. I mean, I used to think, hey, if I automate a few reports, everyone's happy. But the reality? By the time you finish the old school reporting, the business has already moved on. It's like you're handing them a rearview mirror when what they really need is a windshield.
That's such a good analogy. And, you know, the first time I tried to implement rolling forecasts, this was years ago, I thought, this is going to be brilliant. Everyone will love it. But I ran smack into resistance from a veteran controller. He looked at me like I'd just suggested we forecast with a crystal ball. I mean, he literally said, Olivia, we've always done it this way.
Oh, I've been there. Change is tough, especially when you're asking people to let go of what's familiar. But that's the shift, right? FP&A isn't just about reporting what happened. It's about shaping what's next. And that means getting comfortable with a little uncertainty and a lot of new thinking. So let's talk about rolling forecasts. Why do you think ditching static budgets is such a game changer for finance teams?
Well, for starters, static budgets are like trying to drive with last year's map. Rolling forecasts let you adjust as you go, so you're not stuck reacting to surprises. You're actually anticipating them. But honestly, it's not just about the tool. It's about breaking old habits. People get attached to their spreadsheets, their monthly cycles. Change feels risky.
Totally. I had a client who tried to retool their planning process right in the middle of the pandemic. They'd always relied on annual budgets, but suddenly nothing made sense. So we helped them move to a driver-based model. It was messy at first. Lots of questions, some pushback. But once they saw how quickly they could pivot, it was like a light bulb went off. They could actually respond to what was happening in real time, not just look back and wish they'd seen it coming.
That's the thing, isn't it? The hardest part isn't the technology, it's the mindset. You can have the fanciest forecasting tool in the world, but if your team's still thinking, this is how we've always done it, nothing's going to change. You have to be willing to embrace a bit of risk, to try something new, even if it feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I'll admit, I still get nervous when I try a new model. I mean, I'm the guy who color codes his grocery list. So letting go of control, not easy, but you gotta balance innovation with risk management. If you freeze up every time something's uncertain, you'll never move forward. Sometimes you just have to take the shot, even if you're not sure it'll land.
And sometimes, the biggest breakthroughs come from those moments of uncertainty. I mean, I still triple-check my assumptions, just in case the rules of math change overnight. But I've learned that progress means being okay with not having all the answers up front. So let's talk about data transparency. Because honestly, moving from hindsight to foresight means sharing real-time insights, not just within finance, but across the whole business. I worked with a manufacturing firm where the FP&A team made transparency a priority. Suddenly, business partners started asking questions, challenging assumptions, and actually using the numbers. It wasn't easy. There were some heated debates. But it changed everything. People stopped hoarding data and started sharing insights.
That's huge. And, you know, I had my own little experiment with this. I once color-coded a forecast dashboard for a group of execs, thought I was being clever, making trends pop out at a glance. But I didn't realize how passionate people could get about color choices. We spent half the meeting debating whether red meant bad or just urgent. But you know what? That debate got everyone engaged. Suddenly, they weren't just looking at the numbers. They were talking about what they meant, what we should do next. It was messy, but it sparked real innovation.
Exactly. When you open up the data, you empower people to challenge, to debate, to innovate. It's not always comfortable, but it's how you move from just reporting the past to actually shaping the future. And, as we talked about last season, collaboration is everything. Real-time insights, shared access. It's what turns finance from a bottleneck into a catalyst for change.
Couldn't agree more. And if there's one thing I've learned, it's that the best ideas often come from the messiest conversations. So if you're leading a team, don't be afraid to open things up, even if it means a few debates over dashboard colors.
Well, that's all for today's episode. We've only scratched the surface of what's possible when finance teams embrace change, break old habits, and empower their people. Ryan, as always, thanks for the stories and the color-coded inspiration.
Thanks, Olivia, and thanks to everyone listening. We'll be back next time with more real-world strategies and probably a few more debates. See you then.
Bye for now, everyone.